CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Coming to you live from Cape Town. Good. And how beautiful is that view in the background, right? Like a 10 out of 10. I'm staying at this incredible hotel. And they've given me this. I mean, there's a grand piano in the back. If you wish for more. It's pretty damned amazing and not a bad place to spend a Friday morning. Marco says, good morning. Gareth, hope you're enjoying the weather in Cape Town. Yeah, so far so good, dude. I'm not going to complain. And the last cup of coffee, I'm ready to go. I hope everybody is. I hope you're ready for a great weekend. I'm unfortunately back in Joburg tomorrow, but you use the time you got, right? We've got some people joining us in a second. We've got Ben coming up a little bit later, and Queen Cut Squally, who everybody thinks is like related to me or something. He's going to be joining us as well. So we've got a full house this morning and all the good shit. Hang on. Play that again. There we go. Okay. We're slowly figuring out the technical difficulties, but I hope you managed yesterday to join us. And if you didn't, you might have missed out on some of the filthy travel stories that our friends from Tourvest had. Also, if you were on the Burning Platform yesterday, as many people were, I got some really nice comments from people who loved Phumlani Majozi, who's our guest on the Burning Platform. He's got a brand new book out, and I think you'll probably be hearing more from him in the next couple of months as we head towards the elections. Justice says, Gareth, please bring seawater in a bottle. Limpopo people love this. No. I won't be doing any of that. But yes, I know Limpopo people love that. In fact, I do remember once, I don't know if it was for Jane, but I do remember bringing, because Jane's from Limpopo, obviously. I do remember bringing some back in a bottle once. Stuck in PE, says Carol, without power and water. Thank goodness for fiber for now. Well, you know what? That might also be taken away. And then you'll go, oh, well, at least I've got my health. Because that's how we work as South Africans. As soon as they take something away, we're like, well, at least they didn't take this. Ah, look who's there. Simpiwe.
Good morning.
Morning, morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. December yet or still December?
It's still December, guys. I'm sorry to break it to you. Only next week, December, boss. When people go away officially, when they go home and they're just going to party, and they're just going to just be like, you know, when the emails are like, out of office for the next 2 weeks. That's when December has fully loaded.
December,
man. And we can just party up a storm. But until then, sorry, guys, you're still going to have to return to emails and, you know, as per my last mail. That's what you're going to have to do.
Well, you'll never guess who I saw last night in Cape Town. In fact, I think I invited him along. That is Gord Laws.
Oh, wait, what? Also, just side note, I'm loving the background. It is giving very
good,
huh? Man, I've made it in life. Like, I'm just enjoying my money. I'm loving it. Like, I wouldn't mind a tour of, like, you know,
This is incredible. So this is the presidential suite of the Pepper Club Hotel, which is bloody amazing.
Oh, excuse us.
So, not bad. And I met the staff here yesterday who are looking after me like gold, but this is quite an incredible place. And I've got a little pool of my own on that side.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh. The most extraordinary views of the whole of Cape Town. So not a bad way to wake up, Simpiwe. Don't worry.
You know, like, it's very rare that I wish to be anybody else besides me, but in this moment right now, I wish I was Gareth Cliff, like just enjoying what you're enjoying right now, you know. But hey, one day we'll also get there and I'll be like, oh yeah, like I'm just at the presidential suite. Like,
Absolutely. Okay, so the weekend is here. What are you doing?
I I'm going to just be spending time with my grandmother because that's what December entails, just spending time with Gran. And then from next week, I just plan on potting up a storm. Like, I'm just, like, spending time with my Gran now so that...
She has been having a bit of a rough time health-wise, right?
Yes, she has. Old age is kicking in. It's the joys of growing old. It's the joys of just, like... I think she's next week, Tuesday, she's going to be turning 88, if I'm not mistaken. So she is, she's old, hey? She's lived a life on a mom. So, hey.
I think that's a good age if you are in perfect health. Now, here's a question I always ask, and I don't know whether you have the answer or not, but if you got to 88 or you got to 90, let's say,
yes,
and you had to choose... One would be fine and the other one would be 50%. Which would you rather have? Your body in perfect condition? So in other words, that you don't like have no control of your bowels or you are sore the whole time or your bones creak or any of that shit. Or would you rather have your mind in perfect condition, but you can't guarantee the body?
Oh, that's a very tough one. So my gran has been diagnosed with dementia. And so, like, body-wise, she's fine. But, like, mentally, I can see that, no, man, I'm losing my gran day by day. So seeing that happen I think I would go with the mind one. I think I'd rather have my body kind of out and then have my mind in place. That's I think, and that's just based off what I've seen with my gran. Like, her body is still there, but her mind isn't. And I don't think that's what I want because we engage with her, like, look, conversations and whatnot. So it's definitely my mind.
I mean, I do think for the person in question, for them, it's okay if their mind is going.
Yes.
But it's for everyone else that it's really hard.
Yes.
If they're no longer themselves.
Yeah. And I do think it takes a different toll on you. Like, I think sometimes you wish someone was sick in bed and you're like, okay, I can see you're not okay. Whereas mentally, when someone is still getting up to eat and then, like, they just spewing things, you're like, wait, what does that, where does that come from? Wait, who's this? Who's that? So I think I definitely take my mind. I think I want a good, healthy mind. And what my gran always used to say, because there's a famous saying in Zulu, like, ukhulu khokhobe, so it means, like, you grow old, my grandma's like, she doesn't want to kokoba, she doesn't want to grow old and, like, age and whatnot. So I think it's one of those where I'm also like, I don't want to age. I really don't. I don't want to enjoy the joys of old age and arthritis and
I'll tell you what, it's like the worst thing, right? You as a human being, you are going to get, eventually you're going to get old and fucked up, and you just hope that it doesn't happen too quickly.
Yes.
And that you are able to enjoy yourself as close to the end as possible. Because, again, I think this has come up a number of times. There are 80-year-olds who are good, and there are 80-year-olds who are terrible. And there are 60-year-olds who are good, and there are 60-year-olds who are terrible. Right?
Yeah, bo. Yes. In fact, I want to look good for my age. After 50, I want people to just think that I look 40. That's it. The secret to life is I don't want to age after a certain point. And that's what even Dr. Mark was talking about on the show yesterday. It's kind of like the old age secret of, like, being healthy is not so that you're healthy for now, but it's so that you look 32 even when you're 42. So that's all I want.
There we go.
That's all I want in life.
Very good. Well, I see in the comments here, Elon says, mind in perfect condition, 100%. My biggest fear is to go crazy, and I don't know about it. Everybody else does, but you don't. Now, that's very hard. I don't think that's cool. Ish, but being a vegetable. Peter says, I would think that you don't know when your mind is here. Well, you don't, but everybody else does. Nico says, you guys, men elder that can't hold their farts. That's a really funny experience. Please, man. I know people who are in their 20s and 30s who can't hold their farts. So that is a thing that happens.
Tell me about it. And I've gotten to a point where I'm like, I don't mind it, but you see, that's smell afterwards. Just please leave the room. Please just exit.
Okay.
And then come back.
So what is... Yeah, go on.
Yes, and I was going to say that I used to think the loud ones are a problem. No, it's the silent ones. The ones where you're just like, someone fought.
Oh, no. No. And it happens, right?
Yes.
It was something that happened like a couple of weeks ago. I went to this event, and it's like a smart event, and everybody's dressed properly. And this one guy is standing talking to everybody, and there's a group of like, I don't know, six or seven of us, and we're all talking and carrying on. And this guy just lets loose. I'm like, dude, you can't do that. Yeah. And then he leaves. And he leaves the rest of it. Oh, no, it was horrible.
No, come. I was going to be like, come back. Uh-uh. You need to sit in this as well, and you need to smell what we're smelling. And it's just...
Oh, it's gross,
it gets,
man.
Bad.
Let's move quickly on to the two words that you have that you're going to explain to us. The first one is funflation.
Yes.
Which sounds a lot better than inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is the Oxford word of the year, which is riz.
Yes. So last week, Gareth, I think it was last week, we spoke about the word of the year and it was authentic. And you and I were both like, yay, like, yeah. I'm for this.
It's an actual word. It exists. People use it.
Yes.
In marketing, in advertising, it's all anybody wants. But of course, they're not prepared to be authentic because that would mean you'd have to take risks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, well, I thought that was the word of the year, but now it turns out it's riz. So what is riz?
So it seems like different publications are coming out with their own word of the year. So the Oxford Dictionary has come out to say this is the word of the year for them, which is riz. And if you've never used that word, never heard of that, I don't blame you, because riz is basically short for like charisma, right? And it's basically used by the younger generation when they're saying that, you know, you have charm, you have style, so they'll be like, your riz game is on fleek, or they'll say something to say that macking is when you're shelling, so when you approach a girl, yes, there we go, when you approach a girl and she basically says yes to you, you know, without any hesitation, you got riz. So that's the word of the year, which I was like,
I don't like this. I'm already against it, and I hate to be a buzzkill first thing in the morning, but we already have a word, and that word is charisma. You don't need to shorten it to riz and pretend that you've made up a word. It's not a word. Charisma exists. We use that word. There is no need for us to go for the sloppy, lazy, piss poor, second rate version of this. Just use the word charisma, or is it too many fucking syllables for lazy people?
I think it's too long for people. But on
really?
So that's one bad word. I was also a bit upset. Riz, really? We could. And the most other used word was Swiftie. So that was the runner up.
Taylor Swift fan.
Yes, you know, and I was like, okay, maybe I understand. The other one was beige flag and situationship. So those were the three other words that were right.
I know what a red flag is.
No, beige, I don't know what a beige flag.
What is a beige flag?
So beige flag is also, hey guys, you see these new terms. So I'll first explain situationship, where you're in a relationship, but you're not in a relationship.
No, I know that.
You're right. That's
some
what a lot
bullshit
of,
as well.
Which I'm just like, are we still using words like that? And then beige flag is when you're not doing anything good or bad, you just just okay. And that's that's what the kids say, you know, from what I've gathered. So those are the kind of top four words in the Oxford Dictionary now, but the official word of the year is riz. And then that got me stumbling onto...
Hold on a second, because we'll get punctuation in a second. Like, how lazy and stupid and boring and shit have we become that we have to take, like, such crap words and make them word of the year? There was a time where words were, you know, complicated but beautiful words that describe very specific situations could have been brought to bear. But now we're taking words that already exist, shortening them, making them lazier, and choosing those as our words of the year. I'm actually very, very disappointed. I think this is shit. Sanele says the Latweezies and the rainbow and the nature activists, they can use those stupid words. Well, it feels like these are very lazy words.
Yeah, it also feels like we're giving a lot of words to the same thing. So I had an issue with, so we'll take situationship, for example. And then I also learned that there's a difference between dating and then being in a relationship, right? And they're like, if you are dating, you're just seeing people and whatnot. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then once you're in a relationship, you know, you're seeing preferably one person. And then in a relationship status also has its own thing. So you can be in a relationship, but in a situationship. You can be in an open relationship. You can be in this and that. And it's like, there's too many options out there, personally, for one definition or one explanation of, are you seeing someone? Yes or no? Yes, but it's complicated because it's an open what. Hey, for me, hey, you know? But each to their own. And that got me down the rabbit hole of understanding what funflation is. And you might like this one, Gareth. So we went on words that we didn't really like. But funflation is basically they've seen a rise in the youth, once again, where they're not spending their money on long-term savings or investments, but rather spending their money on precious moments. So a 22-year-old, instead of like opening an investment account, they'd rather go to Paris and spend it on that because you'll never be 22 and in Paris ever again. So
in other words, it's just like conspicuous consumption and spending, but they're trying to make it sound like it's a decision that is empowering and all of that stuff. Meanwhile, it's just people spending money that they really shouldn't be spending. That's what it is.
I mean, the headline is, you'll never be 22 and in Paris again.
That's like looking at your bank account and you've got 50 Rand left and you're like, well, that whole 50 Rand today.
Yeah, because the cool kids say the drip is forever, you know. I remember the time on Twitter.
There we go. There's another word, the drip. The drip is forever. We spoke about this on Monday. Oh, my God.
So I remember a time on Twitter where people would ask questions like, should I pay rent or should I buy like these tickets or like go to this concert or, you know, do something absolutely ridiculous. And people would be like, Chad, go buy that Louis Vuitton bag, you know, you drip this forever.
Oh my God.
You know, go to that concert. Kendrick Lamar is coming. You'll never see him again. But rent, you'll figure out rent. And I guess that's what funflation has come or summed up to. I thought you would enjoy the funflation. I won't lie, when I was reading up on that.
I mean, I think this is very, very funny, but does it mean that I must take it seriously? Probably not.
But yeah.
I think it's a little bit sad. All of these definitions are a little bit sad, if you ask me.
It sums up 2023 and the youth of today. So, I'm not one who necessarily is upset with funflation. I think I've done that, but not to an extreme where I'm full out broke and I can't pay for anything. It's kind of like, my bills are paid. There's still like 1,000 Rand in my bank account. Okay, let's go. Let's do it. Let's go crazy. Not the, I haven't paid anything, so I'm going to go to Cape Town.
So I appreciate Simpiwe looking these things up to show us how useless humanity is. But whether or not I'll be using any of these words, I very much doubt. And the fact that they are words of the year is just so disappointing because it means that we've forgotten language. Like, I was talking to Gord about this last night, and we were both saying how, you know, there's an art to using language beautifully. Mm-hmm. And he's very good at it. For example, he can rhyme and he can rap and he can write children's books. And for him, rhyming comes beautifully and very easily. So he's very fluid with language. And there's just something about, like, someone who has a linguistic ability, who can use language beautifully. And of course, they say that your verbal fluency, in other words, your ability to speak properly and use full sentences and use an interesting variety of words, a vocabulary that's a little bit more complex, let's say, a little bit more diverse, and to pull on words that aren't used in the common parlance as much as everything else, that's a real skill. And in the world, people love dealing with somebody who can be playful with language, but it requires an enormous amount of effort and intelligence. The effort being that you have to know the words, you have to study language, you have to pay careful attention, you have to read a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid that's not happening so much. But when we come up with words like riz and funflation, I'm like, really? We're like, if anything, we're dumbing it down. We're not making it better, mm-hmm. right?
True. And to your point, I used to, so this is why I fell in love with rap. I love hip hop, but rap in particular, because you'd hear these artists be able to say things in a very poetic way, but like they're using words that I was like, wait, what does that mean? And then like you understand that, oh no, like there's this metaphor, this double entendre, there's that, like it's like a whole like, oh, I need to sit down and read what this guy has just said. Now, modern day rappers kind of also just, they're a reflection of today's times, I guess, because also their rapping is just kind of like, yo, 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 yippee, yo, yippee, yay. And that's like the biggest hit. Like, I don't understand.
I'm
like,
dog's yeah.
You're like, wait, you didn't say anything. Where's the punchline? Where's the deeper meaning to it? No, all you get is, yo, 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 yippee, yay, yippee, yo. And that's a billboard hit.
Well, look, stupid has always been around, so don't expect everybody to be playing the game where they actually understand and appreciate good language. Oh, but wow. There it is. I feel so stupid for not knowing most of these words, says Mapelo. I always write full sentences everywhere. Sometimes ladies think that I don't have riz. No, you know what? The great thing is that you can always improve and you can always learn new words. You can deploy them in your language as is needed. Mm-hmm. And that's quite cool. It's like, again, if you can play with these things, it just makes you so much more interesting to be around, because it's like eating a meal where there are 100 different flavors rather than eating a meal where there's just one. You know, if you are having, let's say fish, but you aren't having any sides with it, and the fish is plain, as opposed to the fish has a good sauce on it or something. Mm-hmm. That's the magic of language. And I do wish that more people would teach their kids, teach their friends, show a proper appreciation for this stuff, because it just colors in your life. It makes it way more interesting. John Bad Dog says, the only rap that has meaning now is called country rap, Adam Calhoun and the like. Well, I don't know if that's true, but I do think that the best rap might have been done in the 90s, but maybe I'm just biased.
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure.
That's a taste thing. You can't say that's absolutely true. It's a taste thing.
Yes, I agree with that. But like also talking about like words and like people just kind of, yeah, doing whatever they want with words, changing the meanings of it, shortening words. There's currently a trial that's happening with a rapper, right? Young Thug?
One of the youngs or one of the littles.
I don't really know what's going on with this court case. So
don't worry, nobody does.
Don't ask me what's going on. But what has caught my attention is what the lawyer has done for this young gentleman of Young Thug. I think it's Young Thug. And he's also flipped some of the words that he uses. So he's on trial and they're basically using his music to say, yeah, in your songs, you said this, therefore you did this crime, right? He's part of a gang and whatnot. And
oh, yeah, I've heard about this. Yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Sorry, I wasn't sure what you were on about. But now
the lawyer, I think this is also brilliant of him. He's basically said, no, what you think these slang words mean are actually not what it means. Pushing P is not drugs or whatnot, is pushing positivity. You know, and he's also said like the meaning of Young Thug is truly humble under God. So everything he does is to reflect, you know.
Oh, so Thug is truly humble under God.
Yes, that's what the lawyer has said. Yeah, like it's one of those things where he's also now flipped some of the words and meanings of what we know as slang. Like Thug, I thought Thug was like hardcore gangster. But yeah.
It's very interesting, like that, you know, the comment section is alive with all kinds of questions about words and sentences and language. And Mapelo said he feels stupid for not knowing some of these words. And then this came from Sanele. He said, those are not ladies, Mapelo. They are whores and slave queens. Ladies know real language. You don't need to know more than 20 of these cool words to be able to use them. I think that's probably true because, you know, there's no competition. That's not where the good competition is. There's some shitty competition going on with like Mahoshas and Slay Queens. Mm-hmm. That's not where the good competition is. If you're going to be playing any kind of games, those are not the games you should be playing. All right. I do want to get to this quickly before we join Ben. Mm-hmm. So he's got stuff to talk about with an AI only fans model, which we'll talk about just now.
Ooh.
But yeah, the psychology of, and this is something Simpiwe found out about, so it's not one of her bullshit polls or one of her nonsense research, but apparently the psychology of your room is a reflection of your mind. You know, they always say, like, if you're a clean, tidy person, you will have a clean, tidy life. You'll have an environment that's clean. Is that more or less what that means?
Yes. So, but also a bit of a no. It's all up to you as the person who basically interprets this. So basically there was a study, there was a basically some research that was done by this guy, an article, and he basically discussed the psychology of your room, and he used this analogy to say there was a guy who interviewed three people, one old, the second one not too old, and then the third one was young. And he basically invited them to his house. And when he was at the house, when they were sleeping one night, he went into their rooms to check out how their rooms were. And to find out that the old man, he was quite tidy, but there was a few things out of place. The second guy, who was youngish, he was quite untidy. And then the third guy was very tidy, right? And based off that, he employed the third guy because he said, like, if your room is always tidy, that means everything in your life is focused, and you know you're
disciplined, and you need to have order rather than chaos around you, because everything in the whole universe basically comes down to order versus chaos. And I think people who are chaotic and messy are not the kind of people that you necessarily want as employees. They're going to have a messy, chaotic diary. They're going to have messy, chaotic work. They're going to deliver projects that aren't necessarily the best because they are trying very hard to keep their life in order, but they're unable to manifest it in their lives. So I think I really do attach a lot of importance to people who are tidy.
Yes.
I think it's always a sign that they've got their shit together, literally and figuratively.
Yeah. So I think that... So I'm one of those who believe in like organized chaos, where
no, there's no such thing.
Yeah, you see, does everything have to be in place? Like I'm one of
Are you? I think you're saying that because you're probably messy.
I'm not. So that's the thing. I'm not messy, but I'm also one who's not necessarily mad if there's just one or two items slightly out of place. And that for me is like, because I know where everything is in the house. I'm quite a tidy person. I'm very tidy. Mm-hmm. Don't like a messy room. I don't think that's not cute. When my laptop is looking dirty, it gets it clean immediately. But also there's moments where I'm just like, oh, there's like, you know, a cover there, two covers on the side. That's okay. And that for me is what I'm like, yeah. So no. I'm not a perfectionist, I guess.
The perfectionist is never a bad thing. So Ben, does your level of cleanliness and tidiness and neatness show that you have a tidy mind, or do you think that's stretching it a bit far?
Sure. Having a female in my life, massive difference. I think prior to that, in between that, I have moments. I mean, obviously I've just arrived at the back end of this conversation. This is Simpiwe's, one of her studies. Someone's researched this, no doubt.
Yeah.
But Gareth, I mean, the real question here is, looking at where you are this morning, what happened? Did some really rich old woman take you home last night? It's quite a place you're staying out there.
No, it's the hotel I'm in. It's very, very, it's gorgeous.
Wow. When you have couches like that in your hotel, that is fancy.
Mm-hmm. I know. Right? Oh, Ben, there's a grand piano in the background.
Over your left shoulder. That's why I thought some rich old woman took you home.
No, not this time.
Okay.
Maybe before, but not this time.
If we see a woman traipsing around in a dressing gown in the background,
we know how you're paying for this.
No problem being kept, Gareth. No problem being kept, especially your age.
No. Trust me. If I could find a way to do that, I would willingly accept it with both hands. So, all right, Ben, you sent me an amazing article about AI and basically how machoshas are going online. Just give us some info here.
No, well, you can create your own.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
You know, obviously, like an underlying factor of the show on Friday is that we always give million-dollar ideas away for absolutely free. We never use them.
Always.
And then it just smacked me in the face like a wet fish yesterday that if you look at – okay, so the quick backstory of this. Like, I absolutely love self-improvement and how you optimize yourself. You know this very well about me. I would love to get to a point in my life where
So yesterday, just while we're on that subject, I sat down with Anthony and Kate Medera, who, of course, Anthony is the co-host of Blind History with me, and they were telling me that they are talking to you about an igloo, which is a cold plunge bath.
Yeah, they're terrific people who have very similar mindsets to us. If you go into
talk about self-improvement, that's a big one.
Yeah, if you go into my YouTube channel, I actually created a video about what the best pod is because I've had three now. Mm-hmm. And the Igloo Kinu is like the latest iteration, and it is amazing in a variety of ways. But that's a different conversation. Gareth, don't let me go off. Don't let me go off the tangents.
We are looking for things to improve ourselves daily. Yes.
Well, completely. And because I want to become really good at this, I want to find a way that I can make this a thing, right? Mm-hmm. That I can then monetize, because then I become professional, then I become focused, and then I add real value. And the more I look into this, it's like it's hard to actually add value when you're trying to improve people's lives. It's hard to monetize that when you're trying to improve people's lives. But if you're looking at profit off people's lives, you can actually make easy money. So if you look at the whole OnlyFans model, right, you've got all these machoshas and failed models / actresses all coming around and showing their wares. And you've got desperate, simpy guys out there who will pay, I don't know, $7 to $15 a month.
Yes.
But what do they need? They're never going to meet these people. They're never going to have a conversation with them. They are drawn by the aesthetic. So what people have started doing now, they've started creating AI OnlyFans girls, as in they don't exist. There is actually an agency out there. They've created these two girls, okay? So what they do is that they obviously put a lot of time and effort into AI, probably as much time as I put into self-improvement, but they're going straight for the money here. Because they know that there's all these guys who are sitting in their basements playing games and just masturbating. And what they do is they create the Instagram profile, so they get like a hook because they hook them in there. All these girls do. They hook you on Instagram and they bring you to like the exclusive content. Smart. And then what these guys do is they just AI the nudity.
Plus, you're not actually taking advantage of or abusing someone's daughter. You know, it's not some real human being who is selling herself and in an undignified way, giving away her, you know, her personality and her dignity and all of that stuff on the internet. She's not like a real person who has to deal with the consequences of her actions. It's a fake, made-up person.
So, maybe I'm new to this, but I looked at this yesterday. I just thought, you know, we all try very hard to make money and be smart and innovative in life. And here these people are just understanding the flaws of humanity, the sadness of people out there. And they're monetizing this thing. They can make like $20,000 a month.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to make $20,000 a month. I don't know if this is where I'm going to go with this, but the point is that, wow, you can make money in this world, huh? You just understand people and you can make money in this world.
Sex sells. That's all.
it was just the simplest concept I've seen.
But I do think it's important to emphasize the fact that what probably makes this better, if there is a moral or ethical element to anything, and some things definitely do have a moral ethical element, then it is that nobody is being hurt or abused by this. So in other words, it's all fake. It's all computer generated. It's not real. There isn't any damage to any actual living person, and that's better, right?
It's all meant to be fantasy, right? We're not gonna get away from young guys being too scared to go talk to girls and therefore have virtual whatever's liaisons.
Oh, she's pretty, but
so that's the AI girl that's been created.
Oh, she's very pretty. No, but I would say the damage is on the guys that subscribe to this.
Yeah, but we can't help them. We've tried.
No, Sampua, they're a lost cause.
They're a lost cause.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do for them. Yeah. So her name is Aitana. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is her. And then here it says, like, you could follow her. This is her account. Aitana Lopez.
Spanish.
Goddess of temptation. Gaming, fitness, since always gaming has to come in there because
that's where you hook the guys that don't leave the house. Exactly. Yeah. These are the guys that don't leave the house.
The turbo nerds and the perverts and the creeps who like live in the basement will love this. Fitness, obviously, because she's got to be in great shape. Seductive content coverage and sinfully delightful fusion. Ooh, there's a sentence that makes no sense at fucking all. You won't believe that I'm not real. AI model. What you get. Okay, you want to know what's on the menu?
Sure.
Daily dose of my body. Regular shorts of my PPV. What is PPV? Personal point of view?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Content in your DMs. For a proper tip, you will get whatever turns you on. Just DM. And then the nerds who do this, they just generate new images, right?
Yeah. Oh,
completely. They've got a little team. That's what they do. So you're going to look at this and go, oh, what a bunch of creeps, whatever. But if you look at influencer marketing, if you look at talent management across all spaces, it's the same thing, but you can actually just create the bottom line of what you want out of a person. I know this sounds so terrible, but I just think these people are smart because they've really understood society.
Sure.
But I mean, she does, like, as AI goes, she looks pretty real. I mean, she's got...
You know what?
She's not as airbrushed or as perfect in terms of, like, you can see it's just generated by a computer. She looks pretty real. So they've done a bit of work here.
Yeah.
They didn't do any work. Let me tell you where they got this from. It's all the pictures that everybody has been uploading on these AI sites.
Yes.
And just like, oh, yeah, let me just, no, darling. Well, let me tell you now, Stacey, that's your body. And they just used a new face.
Yeah, because everyone's been dancing on TikTok for the last 3 years. And this is what happens. Guys, this is like the circle of life of where we are right now.
So stop on those AI platforms to generate pictures.
Two quick things. You're absolutely right. You know those apps that will like give you a beautiful profile pic.
Stop.
Like those are using elements of all of our faces to make these AI bullshit things and to make them more real.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
life right here.
Apparently, PPV is pay-per-view, not personal point of view. So when
because it's POV. Oh yeah, POV. Okay.
Yeah.
Had a blonde moment there.
The PPV means that you have to pay for whatever fucked up content you're looking for, whatever creepy shit you're most into. You're like, oh, I want a picture of you in the bath.
But then they go
with your head up your ass.
Exactly. But then they go and generate that image for that person, and hey, presto.
Correct.
So there's no restrictions here, like whatsoever.
I don't see there being restrictions. This is why I bring it up, is like someone's really kind of cornered this part of the internet. It's quite smart.
Yeah, okay. It's smart, but it's also a bit weird.
It's very weird.
Guys, it's hugely weird. It's hugely weird. But I mean, this is the world we live in, right? We always talk about the fact that people can make money.
No, it's just like how like the times we lived in. Like first it was porn, and then it was the sex doll. Now it's AI, you know, OnlyFans girls. It's getting worse. Hey, like.
But isn't the internet fucking amazing? Because every innovation always starts in the internet with like porn and sex.
Yes,
and this is an example of what I'm talking about. Like AI, here you've got this amazing tool that can generate. In the case of ChatGPT, like huge volumes of text that are supposedly meaningful. I mean, it still doesn't always get it right, but meaningful, and they can take the place of all those hours of research that you might have had to do yourself, et cetera, et cetera. And you've got these AI tools like what's the thing called Midjourney that can generate these images of like a person in a movie scene with a shark and a helicopter and all kinds of shit. So you don't have to spend any money or pay an artist to render it like they would have before.
Mm-hmm.
And now what do they do with these tools?
Mm.
Immediately they generate like artificial intelligence that will give you machoshas. It's amazing. It took all of 5 minutes for us to go straight to machoshas.
Now you know what matters on this earth. On this particular earth, You know, this world, we always thought it was global warming. We always thought it was being nice. No, we thought it was the risk game. No, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let me tell you what matters. It is sex. And sex sells. And
if you can,
and if you can give it to people, whether it's real, fake, far, online, offline, you will make money.
Well, John says, I have a chick, a friend who's with makeup, she becomes a supermodel. Without makeup, she's scary. Well, isn't that a form of AI filter? I mean,
it is, yeah.
So it's been around then for years. It's not just about technology. People are basically dishonest
all the time. All
about how they
the
present
time.
Themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You think
Mary says, am I the only one who finds Ben funny? Dude, you are hilarious, Shem. No, you're not the only one, Mary. You're the only one who found Ben funny. We wouldn't have him on the show because it would be like just you who would be laughing every morning. No, he's genuinely funny. Speaking of which, let's get to some sport. Yeah. I heard some great compliments for you, Ben.
Let's get the real world.
Wednesday afternoon, I was in. I was at this function that I came down here to Cape Town for, and there were three or four people who were complimenting you on your sport. It's the one thing. They don't listen for me. They don't listen for Sipue. Oh, they don't listen for any of the other guests every day of the week. They come for your sport, and that's it. So let's get into it. This is Ben Karpinski's little update, which comes to us weekly, and it's brought to you by Superbets. It's called Beyond the Scoreboard. Don't forget that Superbets, which you can go and play on today, supports responsible gambling, strictly no under 18s. Winners know when to stop. The South African Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline is 0800-006-008, and they have all kinds of really cool specials going on there, like awesome promotions where you can bet on things that you cannot believe you could place bets on. And sometimes the most obscure and bizarre bets are the most fun to take part in.
All because it's fun to play, right? And that's where we are on the weekends.
Right.
We've gone through whatever gets us to Monday to Friday. And now we get to look at what we can, I don't know, have a few beers with, gather around with friends to watch. It's all so exciting. And it's a very interesting rugby weekend for us this weekend because
rugby's back.
Well, Spear hasn't, it's kind of been lingering, but it's really in your face this weekend, right? Because we've got the Cape Town Sevens.
Oh, yes.
Now, the Blitzbox, it's kind of weird because they used to be really, really great, and then they sort of fell off the wall a bit. And now they haven't even qualified for Paris 2024. But then they go to Dubai and they win. That's it. They beat everyone. So five times in a row last week, they won in Dubai. Great. Awesome. And this week, it always follows it. They go to the Cape Town Sevens and they generally disappoint because all the hype and expectation weighs them down. So I'm not going to say it's going to be the same again this time around. I got fresh hope. I really do. Cape Town Sevens this weekend is one of the biggest sporting jewels in the country. It brings a whole bunch of money into Cape Town itself and the country. South Africa will be against Great Britain, Ireland, and the United States in their pool. Sure. Saturday, flat out, just matches endless. For as many beers are getting clapped, there are games getting played throughout the day. Sunday, finals day. That's when you get the best teams playing against the best teams in the knockout for ultimate glory. But speaking of ultimate glory, the Investec Champions Cup is now happening. So there used to be the Heineken Cup, mm-hmm. which was basically the Champions League of rugby. Mm-hmm. So you get the best teams from France and England because they have their own league. And then you get the URC, which is the Celtic Nations, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Italy, and South Africa. Mm-hmm. Those aren't all Celtic Nations, I know, but so all those teams come together.
They have to expand the category.
Yeah, they've got to expand the category. All those teams come together, and the best of the best then come together for the Investec Champions Cup. And then they have four rounds where they all play, and then you go into the top four of each pool. Stay with me now. Mm-hmm. It gives you 16 teams.
Sure.
Then it goes into quarters, semis, and then the big final. And the final is happening in May at the Spurs Stadium, so that incredibly large football stadium in London. So, I mean, look, it's the season is so jam-packed for these guys now. Because back in the day, if you played rugby in South Africa, you'd play in winter, and then you'd have a lekker long like summer holiday on the plas, clapping beers with your mates, brandies, brying. These oaks now play through the festive season. So the Investec Champions Cup, you play against the best of the best. So you're staking it up a level and you play all the way through the festive season into Jan, okay? So this weekend, from a South African perspective, we've got the Bulls and we've got the Stormers. Those are our two best teams. So Saturday, huge game, 7:30 at Loftus. Bulls versus Saracens from England. Sure. Saracens traditionally always a very strong link with South Africa and South African players go over there. And then Sunday, Stormers will be away to Leicester, which is one of England's very best teams. That'll be at 5:15. So,
but hang on, you breezed past Loftus. That's another thing that came up in conversation this week, is the Oostpaviljoen on Loftus, which is at a, I mean, the gradient there is what, 75 degrees or something? It's really, if you've never been to Loftus, the Oostpaviljoen is the cheap seats, and you basically stare right into the sun, because it's always in the afternoon, and the sun sets in your eyes, which is difficult because you can't really tell whether you're watching rugby or a fight, because there's often a fight right in front of you.
Yeah.
And sometimes the women on the Oostpaviljoen are more scary and dangerous than the men.
Wait, question then. Because last week, yes, you talked about cricket being like the perfect place to go for, yes, a first, yes, date.
First date. Are you thinking
would you recommend a rugby, or, you know?
So people, I'm going to put it, it depends what kind of girl you're dating if the Oostpaviljoen is going to be your first date. Because I'm not going to poo-poo the idea.
Okay.
But I think there's a certain amount of durability about the date that you're looking to take, mm-hmm, that's going to enjoy that.
Okay.
So my gut, I would go no. Even right now, I probably wouldn't take Daniela to the Oostpaviljoen. It's a bit rough.
Oh, okay.
I myself have done rough things in the Oostpaviljoen, so I'm not above any of this. And Gareth talks about that gradient. You add a few more degrees with the amount of brandy that you have in your system. Once you get up, I've seen face plants there. So yeah, look, guys, this is sporting culture, right? If you really want to see it, don't go sit in a box and have like your 7 or 8 gin and tonics and think you're cool. Go to the Oostpaviljoen, stand in the queue to buy the cheaper, yeah, booze. Stand in the line to go to the toilet where the chicks integrate the men's lines because there's not enough toilets. I mean, it's a vibe.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned like if you happen to make a very bad decision or you've had too many Branneweins and Coke on the Oostpaviljoen, if someone falls, they create a cascade effect,
yeah,
which pulls everyone else down with them. And then there's a big fight at the bottom.
See, and this,
so you can always look forward to that. If you've got the kind of girlfriend who likes a bit of, fight action, there are those girls. They're rare, and thank God for that. Most of them have died because they've taken part in these activities as part of their spare time fun.
And this is why I try breeze past Loftus when I talk about the sport, because we go off on these different tangents. 7:30, right? Oostpaviljoen, the sun's already set. It's going to be as good as it gets this weekend against Saracens. Really big one. Sunday, Leicester versus Stormers, 5:15. So in the whole festive season, there's going to be English Premier League and there's going to be rugby. So you've got so much sport to watch. Speaking of the English Premier League, Spurs were so good. They came out of the block so incredibly fast, and then they lost a few games. And last night, they lost to West Ham. Yep. So they are now languishing. And I say languishing because 5th place right now on 27 points is 9 points behind Arsenal at top 36. So Arsenal, they had a thriller against Luton Town this week. They won 4-3. But let's get into the weekend of the fixtures here, because Crystal Palace will host Liverpool. Liverpool are only 2 points back, so they're second on the log right now. Man United versus Bournemouth. And let's be honest, Man United, only people who watch Man United really care about them. They're not going to win the league.
Yeah.
They're happy for top 4 at best. And then every now and again, they take like 5 or 6 goals and everyone laughs. So they'll play Bournemouth at 5. They'll probably win this one. Aston Villa versus Arsenal. Always a sticky fixture for Arsenal, this one. And Aston Villa doing bloody well this season. They've only lost 3 times. They're currently 3rd. That is Saturday at 7:30. Luton, after the fireworks against Arsenal, will be hosting Man City at 4.
Ooh.
I mean, those Man City players, they're used to the best of the best, right? They've got this huge stadium. They're mega, mega wealthy. And they go play Luton Town, where it's like going your grand's back garden. So that's always a spectacle, yep, right? This is the beautiful thing of sport. Everton, who somehow beat Newcastle last night, because these guys they're having a tough time of things. They are playing Chelsea at 4, and then Spurs versus Newcastle. The two teams that were humbled last night will take each other on at 6:30. So as always, football, rugby, absolutely crammed. Cricket, Sunday, India are here. Now, if you ever see any of the Indian players or just Indian people for the next few weeks, thank them. Thank them for their service. They are bringing in more than a billion rants to Cricket South Africa, because when they play, India watches, and the TV rights and the commercial revenue that comes with the back of that, sure, is gigantic. Over a billion.
That's where the money is.
Over a billion rand comes into our coffers here. That's what basically keeps cricket going every now and again. And I don't want to just bow and scrape for these oaks, but if they didn't come to here, we would not have cricket.
No, we have to. We have to bow and scrape.
We would be playing Cricket South Africa Cups, because there's no sponsors and all that other kind of nonsense. these guys make cricket happen. So get involved, go to the grounds, cheer them on less than the Proteas, clearly. But I mean, be grateful is where I'm going with this. Sunday, SA versus India in Durban for the first match. That will be the T20. And the next one is next week, Tuesday. But it's happening for the next, next month or so. 8 games. We've got 3 ODIs, 3 T20s, and 2 test matches. And that makes 8 in my maths, yeah. All right, finally, we've got an interesting weekend of golf. So we had the Investec SA Open last week. Dean Burmester won that after winning the Joburg Open, so he's there. But the Dunhill Championship at Leopard Creek is one of the greatest weeks in, I would actually go as far as saying golf. Obviously local golf, because it's one of the 3 big co-sanctioned events with the DP World Tour. But visually, there's nothing like it in the world. You know, they might play a few tournaments in Florida where there'll be like alligators around the water. It's nothing on Leopard Creek. Leopard Creek is so impossibly perfect. It is such an incredible creation, and it's such an incredible advert for South Africa. You know, everyone's talking about, oh, Trevor Noah, and they paid him stupid money to do an ad about South Africa. This Alfred Dunhill Championship at Leopard Creek is one of the greatest ads that brings tourism, employment, all kinds of things. And again, maybe I'm being a little bit too commercial on the sports report today, but this is a big money spinner for this country, because people are sitting in Europe cold, I don't know, curmudgeonly, with limited power because it's not windy at the moment. And they look at this and go, I want to be in South Africa right now, because they watch tournaments like this. So if you think golf's a waste of time, well, think again. Anyway, on the actual golfing front, Robin Williams, a young South African, he's -7. Jaden Schaefer, equally young South African, he's -6. And then Manuel Alvira is -6. It's a star-studded field. We've got all the best South African golfers there. We've got some other huge names, because it's just such a thing to go to play this golf course. And that is pretty much the big things for your sporting weekend ahead. We've got UFC next weekend. It'll be UFC 2.
Yeah, by the way, I saw John Bad Dog sit here. UFC last weekend was so good, it blew my mind.
It was. The UFC in Texas, yeah. It was a lot of incredible fights. And of course, you know, January the 20th, UFC 297, Strickland versus Du Plessis. I managed to get some time with Rickus this week. I filmed a full interview with him, which I'll be putting out over the festive season in visual form, so you can see his face and obviously talking. So you've got extra festive season content. So I won't be doing the show over the festive season, as you guys won't, but in order to keep you going with sports, because I care about you so much, I've created this interview, which I'll share. So you don't always have to talk to your family over the festive season, because they get annoying, right? At least you'll have reason to go to your phone and watch something. So it's a big, long interview. Beautiful. And I'll package that ahead of that.
Well, Sanele says, when it comes to UFC, I'm like those people who only watch F1 for Lewis Hamilton. I only watch when it's a big fight.
Which is fine. And there are lots of big fights. That's the great thing about it.
On our discussion about Loftus earlier, Darren says, Loftus is rough. They muddy with a chain without even taking the dog off.
Yuck.
You're not right. Sunmarie says, she had to nearly fist fight to stop some pack of wild women pushing to the front of the women's bathroom queue at Loftus. It's rough. I won't be going there again soon.
Yeah, sure. That's it.
Jesus. That's not very lady. Yeah, so you were
not a good first.
Nope.
Not a good first date.
No.
So I mean, just to wrap it up with the situation of the toilets at the Ostpavel Yun, is that the women have like, I don't know, 10, 15 cubicles, but there's about 300 of them who've been car barring since like 4 hours before the game. So those cubicles don't stand a chance. So there's like a fist fight at the women's, and then what the chicks do is they then go to the men's, and all the oaks are so drunk, they obviously cheer the woman coming in and out because they're taking toilet breaks in the men's. Like, it really is. If you want to see culture and just stuff, you've got to.
Oh, my God.
And all of you Cape Townians, you're turning your nose up at this. You need to make pilgrimages to come and see what this is actually about. This is like people go to the Serengeti to watch the migration and all that kind of stuff. Go to the Ostpavel Yun. It'll be cheaper.
Yes, you can observe why Pretoria is our capital city. Actually find out why it is that Pretoria is world famous. Yes, absolutely. And has delivered such good rugby players. And I'm not just talking about the players. I'm talking about their wives as well.
It's a vibe. Right, Ben? Yeah, it's a vibe.
Okay, a couple of other comments here that are worth referring to before we take a quick break. Mike says, also Red Bull Motorsport. Check out Janiel de Villiers, time trial Wade Young up Sunny Pass. crazy spectacular visuals. And apparently, according to Mike, he also says that the Red Bull King of the Air is being held at Bloberg this weekend, just down the way from where I am. Well, I actually know some people who are coming down, especially for Sevens. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I'm leaving tomorrow morning, so I won't actually see any of the Sevens games. But this place just, it's incredible. And the only thing probably on the calendar that comes close is Hong Kong Sevens, but that's like leagues ahead. Mm-hmm. And apparently it's just spectacular.
Well, the Hong Kong Sevens, yeah, it's a long conversation.
How do you describe that to people who don't know what it is?
Hong Kong Sevens is basically the US Pavilion, but with nicer people. I mean, Gareth, we actually can't dress this up. People think because it's in Hong Kong, it's great. People are urinating in the stands. Wait, chicks are losing their minds. Guys, it's like Cape Town's a jewel, right? But there's an element of sophistication to it. People are still going to the toilets. The Hong Kong Sevens, I've never been. I know lots of people who have gone, and it is rough. Because you've got all these expats that go over there with zero like social standards, and it is a mess. And rugby's not that serious, whereas in South Africa, people love watching rugby, and the home team, the Blitzbox, have a chance to win. Who's winning in Hong Kong?
Yeah.
Beer. Beer and bad decisions.
And apparently there's some places
in
the stadium where the beer is completely free. All you have to do is queue up for like an hour, and people do.
Yeah, it's like... like I said, Hong Kong Sevens is basically US Pavilion with nicer people who make more money.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we're back, we will look at a couple of other cool things that are going on in the news and plenty of stuff that will hopefully get you excited for the weekend. It is Friday. Everybody get ready because it's almost here. Mm-hmm.
CliffCentral.com.